message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus is being preached all over the globe. We're going to talk a little bit about it. We did already some. We've sang about it, but I also want to talk about and kind of really hone in on another resurrection, and that's the resurrection of Lazarus. You can see Lazarus' tomb. If you were to go to Israel, you could go visit that tomb, but that is where he laid for 4 days and began to stink. Y'all remember the story. And then Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," and in total obedience, he rose from the dead himself. See, not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but Jesus has the power and the ability to bring back anybody from the dead. And for those that put their trust and faith in him, you also, like Lazarus, will be brought forth from the dead. I want to take, you can go to the Gospel of John, and the resurrection of Jesus is in chapter 20. I want to go to chapter 10, and I want to see something that Jesus said there, and then I want to go to chapter 11 and see something that Jesus said there. So these are the words of Jesus, John 10:10. It says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." So the enemy, there is an enemy. There is the devil, Lucifer, Satan, whatever you want to call him. There is a real enemy, and he has a purpose, a mission, a goal, and it is spelled out in John 10. The thief's goal, his purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then Jesus said, my mission, on the other hand, my goal, my purpose is to come and to give you a rich and satisfying life. See, there's an ongoing battle between good and evil. And if you're not paying attention to what's going on around us in our culture and in the news, there is an ongoing battle between good and evil. Usually when battles are fought, there's one going on right now with Russia and Ukraine, they're fought over territory. The battle for good and evil is also being fought over territory, and you are the territory. The fight is over you. Now I want to jump up to John chapter 11, and this is where we see the resurrection of Lazarus. But I'm going to read two verses, 25-26, and then I want to pick up the story of the resurrection. Jesus said to her being Martha, Jesus says this, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Let me say that one more time. "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asked her a question, "Do you believe this?" And then you jump down a few verses, John 11, starting at verse 38. We find the resurrection of Lazarus. Right before that, Jesus is moved with compassion. And a lot of people who pride themselves in knowing the shortest verse in the Bible, this is where it is found. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? He wept because his friends, Mary and Martha, were weeping. Their brother had died. They were weeping, and he weeps with them. And the Bible says to weep with those who weep, and Jesus did that. Even though Jesus knew what was about to take place, I would have had a hard time crying and weeping. I would have had a hard time not saying, "Watch this. Quit it. Dry up. Watch what I'm about to do." But Jesus took a moment to feel their pain. Church, there's a whole message in there. Yes. You live in a place that is full of brokenness and pain. Slow down. Be sensitive. Feel the pain of those around you, and God will give you opportunity. After he weeps, starting at verse 38, Jesus, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. The last thing they want to do is remove that stone and let that come out. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here around me, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Title of the message is Take Away the Stone. Let's pray for a moment. Father God, I want to thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for this very story here this morning. Yes, your resurrection, but also this resurrection of Lazarus that you caused to happen. Father, I pray for your anointing and your help. I pray that you give hearing ears to all and that we would benefit greatly from being here today. Lord, speak to us by your spirit and word. In Jesus' name, amen. So in that passage, three things take place. Jesus tells them to take away the stone. So that's the first thing. The stone is moved. The second thing, Jesus tells Lazarus to come forth. Lazarus comes back to life. And then the third thing, right at the end, Jesus says, take off the grave clothes and let him go. When people were buried in that day, they're wrapped up in linen and cloth, and they're put in there. And so as he came forth from the dead, he was still bound by the linen and by the cloth. Now, for this morning, these three things, the stone, I think that's the obstacle to freedom. That's the thing that held Lazarus captive. That was the thing that was between him and Jesus. See, sometimes things get in the way between you and Jesus. I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. So that stone is the obstacle to freedom. The raising of Lazarus is salvation. That's pulling Lazarus out of darkness and pulling him into the light. And that's what happens at salvation. You move from darkness to light. And then the third thing, the removing of the grave clothes, is discipleship. That's deliverance. That's getting set free from stuff that may have been on you before you died, when you died. Because here's the thing. A lot of people get saved, but they still have stuff on them. It takes some time to grow in the things of God. It takes some time to get free of some things. And understand, I know that some have the testimony, as soon as I was saved, I was delivered from this. I've got that on a couple of things, but I've got also a couple of things that didn't just fall off like that, and it took some time to get there. How many of you could raise your hand and say, as soon as I just authentic gave my life to Jesus, I was not only saved, but there were some things that had a grip on me, some addictions, bondage, whatever you want to call it, and immediately I was free of that too. Can I see your hands? All right, a few. How many of you could say, after I got saved, I still had some hang-ups and had to get some growth in Jesus and had to let the fruit of the Spirit grow in my life? Yeah. How many of you say, I'm still struggling? That's part of it too. It's part of the journey. So Lazarus comes back to life, but he still has the death clothes on him. When people come out of the world and they give their life to Jesus, they also have a smell on them. It's not the smell of death, it's the smell of the world, which is similar to death. And they have also got some things of the world on them, and there's some freedom that still needs to be had. Now, around here, our slogan is love God, love people, do your part, whatever that may be. These three things, take away the stone, Lazarus come forth, take off the grave clothes. Two of those three involve people. Jesus told them to move the stone. Who's them? It's the crowd around him. I don't know who actually did it, but Jesus didn't go over there and move the stone. Jesus stood there and said, move the stone. That's your part. And then Jesus did his part, the part that we can't do. Jesus put life into a dead man. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came forth. And the people that moved the stone, I'm sure, in awe. My guess is the odor was still there for a while, but it didn't matter anymore. And the other thing, Jesus said, take off the grave clothes. He's talking to the people again. We have a part in helping move the stone. We have a part in helping take off the grave clothes. What does that mean? Well, the stone is the obstacle to freedom. This morning, I'm hoping that I'm moving the stone a little bit for some of you. I'm hoping the thing that's between you and Jesus by the time this service is over can be moved out of the way. Moving the stone, that's preaching the gospel. That's sharing your testimony. That's being a witness at work. That's you. That's moving the stone. But when it comes to being born again, when it comes to being saved, you can't do that. You can preach your best sermon to your coworker. And I know some of you have done this. There have been times that I've been witnessing to somebody, and, you know, an anointing comes in there, and it doesn't mean you go into preacher mode, but God's bringing things to your remembrance, and you're saying things, and it's like, wow, that's good. Yeah. You're wanting to take notes on yourself. The things that you're saying, you're amazing yourself. Well, that is the Spirit of God using you.
Yes.
So you can preach, you can witness, you can testify, you can pray. That's you moving the stone. But only Jesus can give the salvation, the born-again experience. Only Jesus can bring somebody out of darkness into light. Your part is to move the stone. If you are not being a good witness, if you're not living the example of the Christian life, you may be helping move the stone in front of people. So we want to move the stone out of the way. Let Jesus minister to people. But after that, it's not over. Now there's discipleship. Now there's growing in Him. Now there's the fruit of the Spirit. And once again, we have a part to play. So we teach classes. We have Royal Rangers and Girls Ministry and Student Ministries and Children's Ministry. But not tonight. You get a night off. And so we do these things. We help people grow because we want to help them get out of the death. Yes, you've come back to life, but there is still some of the world in you and on you, and we've got to grow in the things of God. So our part, move the stone, take off the clothes, but Jesus is the one that brings them to life. And what we need to do, church, is be careful that after Jesus brings them to life, that we don't start judging them because they're not where we are. You've been walking in new life for 20 years. This guy's been walking in new life for 20 days. And you're judging him for his language. You're judging him for a habit. You're judging him because he doesn't have it all together. We can't do that. Your job is not to judge him. Your job is to help him get out of them clothes. Great clothes. No nakedness. But that doesn't mean you nagging them. That doesn't mean you dogging on them. That means you praying for them. That means you being there to help them when they have questions. So we want to love God, we want to love people, and we want to do our part. And our part is to help remove stones and help remove grave clothes. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these. I'm going to give you five. There's probably a lot more. Five stones or five obstacles that keep people from Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know him at all, maybe I'm going to touch on the thing that is your stumbling block, the thing that keeps you from taking a step of faith. Or maybe you do know Jesus. Most of you do. But your relationship could be stronger. What I'm going to touch on may be the thing that you need to move out of the way a little bit more so you can have a little bit more of him in your life. So five stones or five obstacles that keep people or get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. And the first one is this. This is a big one. The stone, I call this one the stone of offense. And we'll put these on the screen for you. The stone of offense. This is those that just have too much hurt in their life. This is a big one. This is probably going to be, for a lot of people that you know, this is the one. Thought we'd just tackle it first. The pain issue, too much hurt, the stone of offense. Jesus said this in Luke 17, verse 1. Talking to his disciples, he said, "It is impossible." Say that word with me. Impossible. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. In other words, Jesus is saying, you're not getting out of here without offense. The translation of offense means a snare or an occasion to fall or stumble. See, remember, what is the mission? The goal of the enemy, the devil? His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. His goal is to trip you up. His goal is to snare you. His goal is to cause you to stumble, to cause you to fall. But just like God, he uses people to do that. Amen. So what I'm telling you is somebody's going to tick you off. Somebody's going to make you mad. Somebody's kid's going to hit your kid in the nursery this morning. There's going to be reason for you to be upset. You're going to be given reason to quit that church. You're going to be given reason to quit that marriage, to quit that friendship. There's going to be plenty of occasion to stumble in this broken old world. But it's not just little things, you know, where they stepped on my lawn and squashed my grass. Get off my lawn. I'm not talking about stupid stuff, but the devil uses his mission statement to steal, to kill, to destroy, to cause people to stumble, to fall, and he often does that by bringing heartache and pain and hurt into their life. Now, I told you I'm not going to spend much time on each of these because all five of these, I could spend a whole Sunday on each one. I could spend a few Sundays on some of them, especially this one. There is a lot of pain in this old broken world. There are tragic stories every day with people all around us. You can watch the news. I just saw it not too long ago, comes to mind, a grandmother who has Alzheimer's living with her daughter. That's a good thing to do. Grandmother leaves the door unlocked. She's got Alzheimer's in her fault. The little two-year-old comes out of the door, goes into the pool, and drowns. What do you do with that? I'm going to be mad at grandma. She's got Alzheimer's. Why did that happen? God, why did you let... See, the question, if God is all-powerful, if he can do anything, and if God loves me, then how come this, how come that? And again, we could spend a lot of time on this, but my bottom line answer is this. I don't know. But my best answer that I can give at a stab at is we live in a broken world that's full of brokenness and broken people, and there's an enemy out there, and it's not God. He wants to help, but there's an enemy that's out there to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not going to be as good as we want it to be until we get out of this place and go to the new place. There's going to be opportunity for you to stumble. And sadly, some people stumble over small, petty things. But you're going to have an opportunity. You're going to be, if you like this church, you're a lot of visitors here, this is a good church. We invite you to stay. If we're not your flavor, I can point you to another good church. There's good churches in Angleton. But whatever good church you choose, the devil will give you opportunity there to get mad at that preacher and that worship leader. You're going to have opportunity to stumble. You're going to have opportunity to gossip. You're going to have an occasion to sin because of what people do. Job and his wife went through much tragedy, lost all their children, all their property. Job got sick, boils on his flesh. I mean, this is COVID and then some. Went through all this stuff. And Job said, I will trust God. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Those are the two options that God gives us in that story. Whenever you go through tragedy, you can either curse God, quit God, leave God, or you can trust God. Yes. Easier said than done. I'm not trying to make it sound easy. It's not easy. But those are the only two options I see in the Word of God. So what I want to do with each of these points at the conclusion, I want to give you something to know and something to learn. And on this one here, the stone of offense, the too much pain, too much hurt, here's what you need to know. You need to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what anybody's done to you, no matter whatever you've done, you need to know God loves you. Amen. See, because the enemy is going to use this to tell you the reason it happened is God doesn't love you. Now, I don't know the reason it happened, but it's not that. God does love you. So you need to know that. But here's something else you need to learn. Maybe it doesn't apply to everybody, but in many cases, people are involved, so you're going to have to learn to forgive others. And that's not easy all the time either. I've heard people say, oh, you just better forgive them or you're going to go to hell. It's like, okay, it's day one of my tragedy, and that's where you're at with me? Is there no grace? Is there no mercy? Church, don't be a religious Pharisee. Be a lover of Jesus and help people through their stuff. So you need to know God loves you, and you need to learn to forgive people. You need to take away the stone of offense. The second stone is the stone of failure. This one here is too much ego. This is a pride issue. See, because some people, the person you need to forgive is in the mirror. You need to forgive yourself. See, failure is a part of life. Can I see the hands of those that got a little failure under your belt? I always talk about some success under your belt. How many got any failure under your belt? Yeah, I got some of that. Failure is a part of life, and I've found that often more things go wrong than go right. And so what's going to happen, something's going to go wrong, and you're going to say, well, it was me. It was you. Well, just like you have to learn to forgive others, you got to learn to forgive yourself because you're not perfect. And see, whenever you think you should have done better, and maybe you should have, I'm not saying we can't grow and learn in this, but you have to let yourself off the hook, and if you don't, you're hanging on. See, God forgives you, but you've made yourself bigger and greater than God by not forgiving yourself. That's what pride does. See, this is too much ego. You know what? Get over it. Get over yourself and get rid of the stone of failure. Take away the stone of failure. You can't handle that you didn't do it perfectly. You can't handle that others know you goofed. You can't handle that you fall short of the glory of God. Well, you need to learn to handle that. Let me give you some more exciting news. You've got failures in front of you. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, you can't quit after a mistake. A lot of people quit, and they claim to be defeated. You're not defeated, you quit. Because you couldn't forgive yourself. There's an ego. The stone of failure is now between you and Jesus. Take away the stone of failure. Here's what you need to know. God will forgive you for your mistake. And here's what you need to learn. We've already told you. You've got to forgive yourself. See, that's humility. That's the opposite of ego and pride. So you've got to take away the stone of failure. The third stone is the stone of busyness. This one here is just too much to do. Just too much to do. This is a priority issue. See, you have no time for Jesus in church. You're busy. I know you say this on Easter, and it's like, well, he's getting those Easter lily people. No, I'm getting me. I'm getting everybody. I'm not just talking about going to church. I'm talking about making time for Jesus on Monday. How about Tuesday? How about in between Sundays? It's a priority issue. No time for Jesus, no time for prayer, no time for Bible, no time for this. You do have time. Well, I'm very busy. All right, let's do this. Hands up, everybody. That's not busy, but very busy. Very busy. Okay, I want to see who doesn't have a hand up because I got some things I need to get you to do. I've got a whole list of stuff, and I want to distribute some things. Yeah, we're busy. Can you trust God with your time? Yes. Listen, a lot of people struggle trusting God with their money. And the tithe really kind of is the test. Can you really trust God enough to give him 10% of your income and live on 90%? And I've said it many times, and I believe it to be true. When you give 10%, I don't have the time to support this, but it's all through the Old Testament and New. But when you give 10%, it redeems the 90%. Amen. Because you're returning to God what belongs to his. So here's what you got to remember is that 10% goes to God. That redeems the 90%. And what you need to understand is that 90% of what you have redeemed goes further than 100% of what you have not redeemed.
That's right.
So let's set tithing aside. The offering's over. Can you trust God with your time? The tithe is to be first. Can God be first in your life and just trust him that he will help you redeem the time in the Bible as well, right? Can you trust God with your time the way you do money? Let me give you a statement here. The inner world of the spiritual must govern the outer world of behavior and activity. The spiritual, that's the real you. You're not a body with a spirit. You're a spirit with a body.
Yes.
Well, what's the difference? Big difference. Mm-hmm. The body dies, goes back, gone. Spirit man lives. So the inner person, the spirit, must govern the outside behavior and activity. We need to take away the stone of busyness. We can't bury Jesus under our to-do list. Church, we live in a very crucial time. The last thing you need to do is bury Jesus under your schedule. You need to prioritize your time. We're talking about time management here. So here's what you need to learn. You need to know this. Life is a vapor. It's short. It's brief. This week's going to go by pretty quick. Next month's going to go by pretty quick. Pretty soon, summer's going to be over. We're going to be putting up a Christmas tree for Christmas. I just went from Easter to Christmas. And I'm telling you, sometimes it feels that quick. You know how, for a pastor, you know how fast Sunday comes around? It's like every other day. Time goes fast. I'll give you that old proverb found in Proverbs 43, verse 12. Life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. It goes fast. All of a sudden, boom, your kids turn, you turn around, your kids, they're gone. So learn to manage your time, because if you keep putting off the important because of the urgent, eventually you're going to run out of time and not have time for the thing that mattered. So here's what you need to know. Life is a vapor. Here's what you need to learn. Matthew 6:33. You got to learn to put God first. Yes. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things, which are the things of life, will fall in place. Put God first, and then trust Him with the rest of your schedule. Instead of do your thing and squeeze God in every now and then. Because you'll find out He doesn't get squeezed in as much as you thought, because there's always something to do. So you got to take away the stone of busyness. Number four, stone of the flesh. The stone of flesh, this is just too much world. Just too much world. This is about self-gratification. This is a pleasure issue. Is there anything wrong with pleasure? No. Anything wrong with having fun? No. Now, there can be boundaries that we can cross, because there is also pleasure in sin. Now, pleasure outside the boundary of right is wrong. Pleasure in sin is real. Don't ever tell somebody, so why are you doing that? You know it ain't fun. No, the reason they're doing it, it is fun. You're lying. There's pleasure in sin. If there was no pleasure in sin, the church would be full. People enjoy doing things that shouldn't be done. There is pleasure and fun to be had within the boundaries that God gives us, and then there's pleasure and fun that you can have outside those boundaries, and that is wrong, so you got to rein that in. And I think we know that, but let's just talk about pleasure within the boundaries. Even that can go too far. Because Paul said this, I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, this is permissible for me. That's what he said. This is permissible, but I'm not going to be mastered by it. In other words, you know what? We were wrong 40 years ago when we said don't go to the theater ever and ever. You got to go to the theater now to see the Christian movies. We were wrong when we said the Ninja Turtles were evil. That's right. We got hung up on those. You want me to go down the list of some of the other stuff? I ain't got time. We were wrong when we said that boy needs to cut his hair. Man, don't you wish that was the problem today? We were wrong when they said, I can't believe he's got blue hair. You're going to hell. What, because of blue hair? We were wrong. But Paul said, even on the stuff that's okay, if I give too much of myself to it, then what's not wrong becomes wrong. If it has a grip on me, if it masters me, then it becomes wrong for me, even though it wasn't wrong in the first place. See, golf is not wrong. I mean, the way I play it is wrong. That's wrong. I've played about 4 rounds since COVID, and I have a game to show to prove it. Golf is not wrong. It's not wrong for me to go enjoy a round of golf. And suffer with whoever I'm with. They're the ones suffering. I go to enjoy the weather, enjoy the company, and just to get away and unplug. That's what I do. But what if all of a sudden I decide I'm going to get good, so I'm going to play a round in the morning, a round in the evening, 5 days a week? Hey, did you visit so-and-so in the hospital? Nah, playing golf. Hey, prepare for your sermon? No, but I'll Google something right after this round. Now I've let something get a grip on me. So it wasn't wrong, but now it is wrong, because I'm mastered by it. Some of you are mastered by the device in your pocket. Some of you are mastered by the television in your home. Some of you are mastered by a hobby or activity that you have. There's nothing wrong with fun within the boundaries, but if it masters you, you've got another problem. See, you've allowed pleasure to dominate you. Hey, you only go around once, get all you can, right here. Lust of the eyes, pride of life, lust of the flesh, and we're caught up in it. The prodigal son left his father's house. He left his father's house to go be a part of the world, to make his mark. But the world marked him, and he came back. And we know the story, and it ends well. But there is a better story, and that is stay in the place of good relationship with Jesus, and don't let the world dominate you. Don't let pleasure dominate you, because Jesus said this, the love of the world is an enemy to God. So too much world, the stone of flesh. Some of you, your relationship with Jesus is hindered because you are too caught up in worldly things. So you need to take away the stone of flesh. So here's what you need to know. You're playing with fire. You're flirting with danger. Demas, Paul said this about Demas. Pray for me. Demas has left me, having loved this present world. Demas went back to the world. Who's Demas? Doesn't say much about him. In one place it says Demas was helping Paul do ministry. Another place Paul is saying, please pray for me. Demas left. What happened to Demas? He was doing church. He was doing ministry. He was doing good. Having loved this world, he left. This is where it happened to Demas. He was too given over to the stone of flesh. He's playing with fire. Eventually got burned. Now, the prodigal son came back. Maybe Demas came back. I don't know. We don't have that story. But you need to know that you're playing with fire. Remember John 10:10? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You're playing with fire. You need to understand that the enemy works greatly with this stone right here. Here's what you need to learn. Self-control. You need to learn to crucify the flesh a little bit. There's some things that your flesh enjoys that you need to say no to. You need to tell your flesh, you're not the boss of me. You need to be led of the Spirit a little bit more. You either crucify the flesh or satisfy the flesh. And again, there is pleasure and fun to be had within these boundaries, and the flesh enjoys a lot of things. But you don't want to be mastered by anything. There's got to be some self-control. Anything can be out of balance. So the stone of flesh can get between you and Jesus. You need to take it away. The final is the stone of doubt. This one here, too much learning. Now you're thinking, whoa, too much learning. We ain't going to this church. He's against education. No. Education is one of the goodest things you can do. Not against education. What's that old saying? Too much learning doth make thee mad. When I talk about too much learning, and I'm talking about the stone of doubt, I'm talking about those of you that sit here and you have trouble coming to Jesus because of an intellectual issue that's in there, and it's just keeping you from taking a step of faith. There's something you can't figure out. And I'm going to tell you, this was a big one, especially in today's world. This is big. There is the science over here is saying this, and the Bible is saying this, and they're opposite. Can I just tell you, if science and the Bible are saying different things, I would suggest choose God's word.
Amen.
But I also will tell you this. God created science, and all real science is in a full agreement with God.
Amen.
Now, we may not have figured it all out yet, but science is always fluid. It's always moving because we're learning things. And as we learn, we go, okay, that was... How many of y'all remember the commercials? Milk does the body good. Then a few years later, stay away from milk. Not good for you. And I don't even know, is it good for you again?
No, not yet.
Milk haters are going, no, it's not. You know, certain things that were good for you, now they're not good for you. As we grow, you know, cigarettes, it used to be, man, they were fine. Look, all the famous people, everybody needs to do, oh, well, we've got to quit doing that. We just found out something. See, as we find out things, we change, and we should. So science is always changing and moving. God's word is not changing at all.
Amen.
It's immovable.
Thank you,
it's fixed. So You got to stay there, and you got to trust that. See, you want to come to Jesus, but you really have trouble believing that God created the world in 6 days, because after all, evolution took millions of years. Man said so. And man said this, and God said this, and I'm really leaning towards what the man said, because it just makes more sense. There was a big bang. Something came from nothing. There was an explosion, and boom, here we are. That's easier. That's easier for you. You do understand that to believe in evolution, you have to believe that either something's always been here, which is hard to believe because where did it come from? Well, it came from this. Well, where did this come from? It came from that. Where did that come from? Where did the first thing come from? So either something's always been here, which don't make sense, or something came from nothing, which makes no sense. So if you believe in evolution, you have faith. Because faith says, I believe in the impossible. Mm-hmm. Well, what about your thing? You believe something came from nothing? Absolutely do. God spoke, boom, there it was. Amen. We both believe in something came from nothing. I'm just going with God's account, you're going with man's account. So the intellectual issues, and we could go down all the cultural stuff that's going on. Listen, church, I don't want to go too deep here, and we certainly don't want to be insensitive. But I've told you before, and I just want to remind you, if you really think that God made two genders, you're normal. It's okay. You're a normal person. There's not 72 genders. Yeah, but God said this. I told you, this is a big stone for some people in this day in which we live. It's hard. Well, I'd like to talk further about this. Not today. We can't today. But church, we've got a generation, two generations under us that are very pained, hurt, confused, and they're being manipulated.
Yes.
And they're being used.
Yes.
And there is evil in this world. Can I remind you of John 10:10? We read it at the beginning. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant.
Amen.
But you're going to have to trust him. Why do good people suffer and evil people prosper? See, that's the stone of doubt. Why is it that I prayed and this, it didn't happen? They died anyway. I don't know. The stone of doubt and the stone of the first one, offense, pain, they kind of touch a little bit. But we need to take away the stone of doubt. And here's what you need to know. You need to know that there is an enemy and he is a liar. So if the enemy has a goal, a mission, a purpose to steal, kill, and destroy, how is he going to fulfill his mission? He is the father of lies, the Bible says. He will fulfill his mission through men, through intelligent men, smart men, men with degrees, men that wear suits, men that hold office. And by men, I mean men and women. When I talk about man, I'm talking about the species of man, the female man and the male man. We don't got to play all the silly little culture games. You need to know that there is a real enemy, and he is a liar, and he is not your friend, and he is bringing corruption into this world. Here's what you need to learn, and this is a biggie. You need to learn to trust God and his word.
Amen.
I'll give you two verses. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. We don't need verse 6. That's right there. That's good right there. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean unto your own understanding. What is your own understanding? That's what you think. That's the way you see it. I'll use this one illustration. Sunrise, sunset. Did you know the sun does not rise and the sun does not set? Did you know we're moving and it's an illusion? But we call it that. That's the way it looks. There's a lot of things that look one way. I see somebody correcting me over here. And I do know the sun moves too. You know this whole thing is moving through space? I do know a little bit more than that. We're on a time budget here. There's a way that we think because of what we see. And it feels a certain way. And the Bible says, trust in me. Don't trust in yourself. Now, a lot of times, you're going to be on the same page with God. But when you're not, when God is saying this and man or you are saying that, now you've got to trust in Him with all of your heart and lean not unto your own way of thinking and understanding. I want to go back to John 11, verse 25 and 26. We started with this. Talking to Martha, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And I'd like to just ask you that question this morning. What Jesus told Martha, do you believe this? The fact that if you will trust in Him, you will not die. The fact that you're living now, but one day you're going to die and you'll live again, never to die again. Eternal life. Do you believe what Jesus told Martha? If you do, the Bible says we have eternal life. If you don't, if you're struggling, maybe it's one of the stones I mentioned, maybe it's something completely different that I didn't touch on. But there's an obstacle between you and Jesus. Can I just tell you that you can search and research to a point, and it'll get you closer and closer and closer and closer, but you'll never be able to get fully there through your research. Your final step will always be a step of faith.
Amen. Yes.
Research it all you want, but somewhere you're going to have to draw the line and say, you know what? I'm just going to have to leap. Just going to have to jump out there and trust that God is who He said He is. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusts in Him. What are you missing out by not trusting Him? What are you missing out by keeping Him on the other side of that obstacle? Keith Green, the late Keith Green, said this in his song, The Grace by Which I Stand. Your love broke through. He's got this line right here. You rolled away the stone that held my heart. We've talked about five different stones. Is one of those holding your heart? Is one of those holding you captive away from Him? He can roll away the stone that holds our heart. I want to ask you to stand. Would you bow your heads with me? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you're here today, and I'm not asking whether you're saved, not saved, that's not my question right now. My question is this. Did I touch on anything with them five stones? Did I touch on one or two or more that affect you? In other words, your relationship with Jesus is a little bit hindered because of one of the five stones that were addressed this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, can I see your hand? That is you. Good. I want to pray for us first. So maybe just as a show of faith, why don't you just, head still bowed and eyes are still closed, but why don't you just take one of your hands and just place it over your heart and just receive this. Father God, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, as we have discussed different things that just get in the way, different things that cloud our vision and hinder our journey. Lord, as people have responded, Lord, I know that that is your spirit stirring in our hearts, and we ask you to do that at the beginning, and you've done it. So thank you, Lord, for hearing us. And Father, would you forgive us? And would you help us to take away the stone of whatever it is? Father, that we can go from this place, yes, celebrating your resurrection, but also with faith and determination that our relationship with you is going to, it's going to go up a notch as we make effort to move those things that get in the way. Church, I'm going to say amen to this in a minute, but I want you to hear this. I don't think the Father looks down at you and He's angry at you because you've allowed this obstacle to hinder your relationship with Him. I don't think it's as much anger as much as it is sadness, because He knows that there is more for you and that you're missing out by not trusting Him. And if you would just trust Him, because remember, Jesus came to give us life, life more abundantly, to give us rich life, to give us good life. He came to give us that, but we're not trusting Him, and so we're just doing things our own way. And so God looks at us and He hurts for us because He knows there's so much better and we're missing out. So today, as you leave this place, leave with a determination to push that stone to the side and to come closer to Jesus. But don't leave here thinking he's fed up with you. He's done with you. No, he's calling you to better things. Father, I thank you for that, and I pray in Jesus' name on that. With heads still bowed and eyes closed, I want to pray for anybody that might just need to start from, from scratch, a relationship with Jesus. You just need to start because you've never had one, or maybe it's just so bad for you and been so long, you just need to start over. Right where you are, I want to pray for you, but would you hold your hand up? Can I see that hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. All right? Awesome. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, I thank you for these that have raised their hands, signifying that there is just a reset that needs to happen, a do-over, or maybe for some, just a first time of coming into relationship with you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for salvation, for darkness to be pushed aside and light to come. Church, can we all repeat these words right here? Would you repeat after me? Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I confess my sin, my shortcomings, and I call upon you to forgive me, to receive me, that I might know you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, I pray for every one of these. Lord, that as they begin their journey with you, Lord, that it is full of your presence, full of exciting things. Lord, order our steps, every one of us. Father, we live in a very peculiar and concerning day, but Lord, we are here for such a time as this. So Father, use us, order our steps, and be glorified in and through our lives. I pray for that in Jesus' name. And the church says amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Give Jesus a good hand clap if you do it.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.